Let's read together Mark chapter 8, verses 10 through 21. Here we have the events following the feeding of the 4,000. Our Lord warns the disciples of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, and then he informs them that they lack spiritual understanding. Mark chapter 8, verse 10. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples, and they came to the region of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation." And he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." So they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." And Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "And when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. So he said to them, "How is it you do not understand?" Let's consider some background notes, first of all, to help us understand this passage. We see from verse 10 that after the feeding of the 4,000, which was on the east or southeast side of the Sea of Galilee, the Lord and his disciples sailed over to the western side and landed in the region of Dalmanutha, also called Magdala in the parallel passage, Matthew 15, verse 39. In verse 13, we see that after his confrontation with the Pharisees, he and his disciples get into the boat once again. And once again, they sail over the Sea of Galilee, this time to the north, because we see there in verse 22, they come to Bethsaida, which is on the north end of the Sea of Galilee. And while they're sailing, the Lord took this opportunity to warn the disciples of the dangerous influences of the Pharisees and the Herodians. And the Lord used figurative language to get across his point. He said in verse 15, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." Now, the reason he used the figure of leaven or yeast is because it was symbolic of slowly spreading evil. Throughout the Old Testament, it had this connotation. Remember the emphasis on unleavened bread in the Passover and unleavened grain offerings in the sacrificial system? Leaven or yeast had penetrating power. It would spread slowly and steadily. No wonder the Lord likens the corrupting influence of the Pharisees and the Herodians to leaven or yeast. Well, you can see that the disciples did not realize the Lord was using figurative language. They thought the Lord was talking about literal bread because they had forgotten to get supplies for the trip and they only had one loaf of bread in the boat. And so they proceeded to discuss and apparently argue about the matter. "Philip, were you supposed to go and get the supplies?" "I was. I thought Andrew was supposed to do it." Maybe it went something like that. In any case, the Lord now has to teach them that they are slow to pick up on what he was trying to communicate to them. As to their need for literal bread, were they forgetting the miracles of the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000? As the Lord took care of the needs on those occasions, could he not take care of their needs, even though they had forgotten to bring along some bread? Right now, the Lord wanted them to be thinking about more important matters than just bread that they forgot. So that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points from this passage. Doctrinal point number one, unbelief will never be satisfied. Unbelief will never be satisfied. We saw from verse 11 that when the Pharisees asked for a sign from heaven, the scripture says there in verse 11, they were testing him. That means their basic attitude was one of unbelief. They were not going to believe no matter what sign was given them. You've heard the expression, people convinced against their will are of the same opinion still. That is, if you have your mind made up and you are unwilling to believe, you will not believe no matter how many signs are presented to you. You'll always find some other explanation. You know, in John chapter 12 and verse 28, we read that the voice of God was heard from heaven, and the people made a naturalistic explanation. At least some of them did. John chapter 12, verse 28, the Lord says, "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Now, what do you think some of the people said? Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Naturalistic explanation by some of the people there. It always takes place. You know when the rapture takes place? You think people are going to be able to explain it away? Of course they'll explain it away. We've been invaded by outer space. The forces have finally eliminated all the hindrances to the forward movement of the New Age movement, something like that. There's bound to be naturalistic explanations for the disappearance of believers at the time of the rapture. Unbelief will never be satisfied. People convinced against their will are of the same opinion still. Any sign given will be explained away, and more signs will be demanded. Well, these Pharisees certainly had plenty of signs. Think of the miracles done in that very area on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. This is the very town, by the way, Magdala, where Mary Magdalene had been healed. And of course, all of these miracles were right in line with Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming Messiah. All of these healings were right there in the Old Testament prophecies as what would authenticate the claims of the coming Messiah. And yet they were not satisfied. They would not believe. Unbelief will never be satisfied. They wanted a sign from heaven, something that couldn't be explained in any other way. You see, they were explaining his earthly miracles as demonic power. They wanted a sign from heaven. Well, because of such unbelief, the Lord says in verse 12, no sign would be given to this unbelieving generation. And in verse 13, we read, he left them, most likely a symbolic gesture that the nation had lost its chance to believe. And that's another reason why we have worded our doctrinal point as we have. Unbelief will never be satisfied. That is, by divine decree, unbelief will never be satisfied. Then or today, God is looking at the will. When a person is willing to believe, then God gives all kinds of confirmation. Believing faith is confirmed, but unbelief will never be satisfied. Doctrinal point number two. The leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod can characterize disciples. The leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod can characterize disciples. What is the leaven of the Pharisees? And what is the leaven of Herod? The leaven of the Pharisees in the context is hypocrisy, wearing the mask of a believer, but in essence, being a proud, self-righteous, legalistic unbeliever. The leaven of Herod is most likely worldly skepticism. The Herodians who favored Herod and Rome were worldly-minded skeptics. That's why I say probably the leaven of Herod here means worldly skepticism. Why is the Lord warning the disciples here of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod? It's because the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy, and the leaven of Herod is worldly skepticism. And that's our doctrinal point. The leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod can characterize disciples. It not only characterizes the Pharisees and characterizes Herod or the Herodians, it actually can characterize the disciples. That's why the Lord is warning them, beware, you beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. The leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod can characterize disciples. We may be Christians, but we can still be influenced by the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Hypocrisy and worldly skepticism. Unbelief is so subtle. It can hypocritically hide behind a pretty good-looking mask called faith. It can come out as skepticism concerning the Lord's work. It's usually associated with worldliness, because great faith and worldliness don't go together. Is it possible that we here this morning as Christians are characterized in some ways by the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod? The Lord says to us, as he did to his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Hypocrisy and worldly skepticism can characterize disciples as well as characterize unbelievers. Practical application. Let's not remember the facts and forget the lessons. Let's not remember the facts and forget the lessons. You know, when the Lord asked the disciples about the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, how many baskets were left over? They had the correct answer. 12 baskets, case of the feeding of the 5,000. 7 baskets in the case of the feeding of the 4,000. They remembered well, good Sunday school students. But they never got the lesson. God had provided for the people's needs then. Could he not provide for the disciples now? They had not learned the lesson of the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000. They remembered the facts, but they forgot the lessons. Why were they so anxious and bent out of shape? Because they had only one loaf of bread in the boat. I mean, they had the bread of heaven in the boat with them. But the disciples had not learned the lessons of the miracles. Have we? You know, the disciples were like some of the students at Emmaus Bible College who score well on tests, but they don't seem to gain much insight into Scripture. That's not true of all students, okay? I'm only talking about a minority. But there are students who score well on tests, but they don't seem to gain a lot of insight into Scripture. The Lord had to rebuke the disciples here for their spiritual immaturity and lack of understanding. Look at verses 17 and 18. Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember? Verse 21. How is it you do not understand? Well, the Lord would say the same to us. If when we read the Bible, we remember the facts as head knowledge, but never remember the lessons. Let's not remember the facts and forget the lessons. Practical application number 2. Our experiences today are for our greater faith tomorrow. Our experiences today are for our greater faith tomorrow. The Lord essentially tells the disciples here that the reason he performed the miracles of the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000 was not only to meet the needs of the people, but for them to grow in faith. Because of these miracles, the Lord indicates that the disciples should have had a more mature faith. In the same way, our experiences today are for our greater faith tomorrow. And if we're not growing in faith because of our past and present experiences, then the Lord would rebuke us as he did his disciples. He would say to us the same as we read there, do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember? How is it that you do not understand? Have we had the experience of seeing the Lord meet one of our needs? Well, have we grown in faith as a result, or are we still complaining? Have we had the experience of the Lord graciously getting us out of a tough situation, maybe of our own making? Have we grown in faith as a result, or are we still immature? Have we had the experience of being disciplined by the Lord? Well, have we grown in faith as a result, or are we still babes? Our experiences today are for our greater faith tomorrow.